also is the beginning of a new church at our Union Baptist Association. Life Point began this morning at 9 o'clock. And the other church, Invitation, meets at, I think it's 11 o'clock when they meet. So that's a new journey. And I'm going to be speaking today, if you want to turn there. It'll be a while before I read the scripture. But I'm going to be speaking from Nehemiah chapter 1, if you want to find your passage there. Now, my message today, the Lord gave me a new message for you. And that is, choosing a new leader. That's the title of the message, choosing a new leader. Before I do that, I want to pray for us. This is a prayer. I write some of my prayers. And this is a prayer that I have composed for us today. Will you pray with me? To our prayer-hearing God, you are known but beyond knowledge. You are revealed but still a mystery. We bless you that you have made us capable of knowing the God of creation, the perfection of excellence, the source of happiness. We praise you for leading us to desire you, the God of deliverance. We worship you, the God of grace. We receive your word as an element of saving and growing grace. As a partaker of grace, help us to be a dispenser of grace. We come to you, our Savior, to worship you. You will not cast us away because of your overwhelming love. You will not remember our mountain of sin, for you leveled it at the cross. You will not turn away from our ugliness, for your beauty covers our deformities. Deliver us from the natural darkness of our minds, from the corruption of our heart, from the temptation and dangers while in this life. O God, make us worthy of your calling, that the name of Jesus may be glorified in us and us in him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It is a new year. Have you made any resolutions this year? Anybody? No resolution. At least you're honest, you decided you weren't going to make any because you couldn't keep them, right? I haven't made any either. I made one 2 years ago to give up soft drinks. I'm good. 2 years now. No more drinks. It was a good one for me because as you get older, you think more about your health. My mother used to say, you better take care of yourself. That's the only body God's going to give you. And she was right. I hope you know that I have Herman's best when I come to you to preach and share God's word. I have you in my heart. I love you people. And what I say to you today, I say to you, very strongly. It is good and it is helpful for you to mourn losing your pastor. It is a natural process and I encourage you to mourn. Many of you came to know Jesus because of the ministry of Donnie Gamble. Your church prospered and it grew. And he was your spiritual leader. But he is gone. And God has a new leader for you. And he will lead you if you follow. God is ready to do a new work, and he will raise up a new leader. Are you ready? Once you get past the stage of saying, and you've said your goodbyes, I'm sure, last Sunday, doesn't mean you cannot be your friend. It doesn't mean you cannot call him and Judy and ask them to meet you somewhere for lunch or, as we say in the country, supper. Doesn't mean you can't call him up on the phone and how he's doing. But he is not your spiritual leader anymore. God has a new one for you. So sometimes at the association, churches will call us and say, you know, we keep a list of resumes on file that pastors sent us. We keep them on file with references and so on. They'll say, we're without a preacher. Have you got a list on file? And our director, Dr. Burton, he so aptly says, we have a lot of preachers on file. Now, if you're looking for pastors, that's harder to find. And I submit to you today that finding a visionary leader is even harder to find. Among the preachers, there are very few pastors. Among the pastors, there are very few visionary leaders. And what happens when you don't have a leader? Well, the Bible told us in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, in those days when Israel had no leader, everyone did as they saw fit. That's what usually happens. When there's no leadership, people do what they want to. Have you ever heard this adage that nature abhors a vacuum? You ever heard that? It is true. It is also true in the life of a church that nature abhors a vacuum in the church, and there will be leadership. It always happens that leadership will rise up. Someone will take charge. I told Brother Don, I said, Don, don't you know the worst time for you to be chairman of deacons when you don't have a pastor? But Don is a good man. I've known him many years. And he will do well as your chairman. And you want to pray that God will, that you will have in your church godly men who want the best for the church. Now the challenge is to find God's leader. The leader must have the same vision as the church. So I'm going to ask you, what is your vision? Not yours particular, what is your vision in the church? What is the church's vision? What is the vision that God has given you? You know this scripture well in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Eugene Peterson paraphrases that very well when he says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I like that. We do. We need a vision. Now I'm going to say something to you that may cause you a little pause. Don't expect the leader to bring the vision. Expect the leader to complete the vision that God has given you. Now, in the book of Ezra, God had given a vision to God's people to rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. And they finished building the temple. And they may have started rebuilding the walls, but they did not finish it. And God raised up a person whose name is Nehemiah to complete the vision. What is the vision? Their vision was to rebuild the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. Now, a vision is not a vision if only the pastor has the vision. We have that sometimes in churches. The pastor has a vision, the church has no vision. Or the pastor has one vision, then the church has another vision. A vision is not a vision if only the deacons know about it. Or the Sunday school teachers know about it. A vision is a vision when the whole church knows about it. Now, on your website is your mission. Now, mission and vision are two completely things. Your mission is loving God, loving others, serving the world. Vision is different. A mission is a broad statement. This is the reason that Herman Baptist Church exists. This is the reason that we gather here to worship, because we love God, because we love each other and others, and that we want to serve the world. Vision needs to be specific and dated. Excuse me. Thank you, Larry. So I remember my last church when we had a vision. This was an audacious vision. We wanted to reach 75 people in Sunday school. I don't think the church had ever done it, but we talked about it, prayed about it, put action to it. And we said, if we were running the 50s, if we could just reach 75, and we did. And then we put our vision of reaching 100 in Sunday school. And some said, I don't know if we can do that. Little country church. On the other side of the county. And we did. And then we changed the vision. See, vision is something that is completed, is attainable and can be completed. It's like rebuilding the temple. And they did. They rebuilt the temple. The Bible says that some cried for joy and some cried out of sadness. Some cried for joy because they'd completed the task, and others cried because they remembered the former temple. And this was nothing like the former temple that Solomon built. So we changed the vision. And we said, our vision is 200. And we reached. And we changed the vision again. And said, 250. And we changed the vision again to 300. We never made the 300. We did make 295. So I'm going to ask you, Herman Baptist Church, people I love, what is your vision? I know what your mission is, but what is your vision? If I were to ask this section, and this section, and this section, and this section, and this section separately, what is the vision of Herman Baptist Church? Would every section get the same thing? If not, this message is for you. Vision needs to be specifically written down, something that you can look at and say, this is what God has put in our heart to do. I don't know what that is. And you may know not what that is, but you need to find out. Because God has a vision for this church, and it's not the same vision as it was several years ago. Or maybe it is. I don't know. It could be a vision, something similar to this, to reach every household within a mile radius, or 2 mile, or 3 mile, or 4 mile. I don't know. But I'm saying you need to find out what God's vision is for your church. Because the leader that you will find will not bring the vision. He will come to fulfill the vision, to lead you to fulfill the vision. Now, next Sunday you have an interim pastor. His job is to prepare you for the next leader. But he will not bring the vision either. You must have the vision from God. So, how is your mission, loving God, loving others, serving the world, how is it carried out in a specific manner? Now, you've had visions before in your church. You agree? And you completed some of those? By the way, don't look for another Donnie Gamble. God only created one. Don't look for him. I was in a church the other day, and they've gone through several pastors, and they're still looking for the pastor they had years ago. He doesn't exist. He's gone. You have to be ready to transition to the new leader that God has given you. Your choice will demonstrate who you are. Now, I want to caution you. I really shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it. When you find a leader, I hope you will find a leader who is Southern Baptist, who believes in missions, who believes in the cooperative program, who believes with working other churches. Had a church just fired a pastor. I was talking with them, and listen, they were surprised. They were surprised. I'm like, I don't know. And I see this because I go to a lot of different churches, folks. The most vulnerable time in the life of the church when they're without a leader. So I hope you will be careful. And you already have a team. And they are charged with a huge responsibility. And I want you to pray for them. And we're going to pray for them. That was the introduction, by the way, in case you're wondering. I do want you to think about your vision. I want the leaders of the church to think about your vision. What has God called this body of believers to do here in this community? You know, we had a church that just recently closed down. And we have a new church that's starting there. It is a Spanish church now. When our director talked to them and they realized they could not carry on, they had got down to so few members that they could not carry on the work of the church. They came and they gave the property to the association. They said, we are not able to carry on with this church, but we do want a church to be here. And so Dennis asked them this question. What was your vision What was the original vision of this church when it was started? And they said, our original vision was to reach the people in our community. Well, when they started this church, it was Anglo Church. And the area transitioned. And it transitioned to a black neighborhood. And it transitioned again, and it is a Spanish neighborhood. And so guess what? The original vision that God gave this church many, many years ago is still the same vision today. Different people. To reach the people in this community. That touched my heart. That the vision that these original people that founded this church said, we are here to reach our community. And many, many years later, the vision that God gave those people is still the same vision. Now, they failed because they were not able to reach across the aisles and the doors and all. It just didn't fit them. They didn't know how to do it. I don't know, but it didn't do it. But God had another plan, and now there are over 100 people in that church. So I'm going to read you a passage today, Nehemiah chapter 1, and relate some of the things I've been mentioning to you to the story of God's call to leadership and your call in finding another leader. Chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, during the month of Chislu in the 20th year, when I was in the fortress city of Susa, and Anai, one of my brothers, arrived with men from Judah, and I questioned them about Jerusalem and the Jewish remnant. The Jewish remnant is the one that had already gone back under Ezra that survived the exile. They said to me, the remnant and the province who survived the exile are in deep trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's walls have been broken down and its gates have been burned down. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, now I want you to listen to this prayer. Now I listen to some of my prayers. I listen to some of your prayers. And some of my prayers don't sound anything like Nehemiah's prayer. There are 35 references to God himself in this prayer. This is a God-centered prayer. Sometimes when we pray, I say, Lord, help me, guide me, encourage me, strengthen me, meet this need. Listen to this prayer. Yahweh, the God of heaven, and the great and all-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keeps his command. Let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly toward you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinance that you gave your servant Moses. Please remember what you commanded your faithful servant. He's recalling scripture now. Praying back scripture to God is an interesting concept. I encourage you to pursue that even on a personal basis. And this is what he prayed back to God. This is what Moses wrote. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place that I have chosen to have my name dwell. These are your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give your servant success today and have compassion on him in the presence of this man. At that time, I was a king's cupbearer. Now, what an awesome prayer. Now, you understand this was just not a one-time prayer. This was a prayer that Nehemiah had prayed for 4 months. Written here in our scripture. Sometimes people say, I don't believe in written prayers. Well, they're in the book. And Nehemiah prayed this prayer. 4 months he prayed this prayer. Maybe some variation, but this is the essence of who he prayed. And he prayed to God. So I'm going to give you 3 points today about choosing a new leader. And the essence of the new leader is echoed by Nehemiah and God's call on his leadership. Number one, when you choose a leader, choose one who is sensitive to the needs of God's people. Choose one who is sensitive to the needs of God's people. You see, God uses people who care about the same things that God cares about. What does God care about? God wants his temple rebuilt. And they did rebuild it under Ezra. They rebuilt it. They had a celebration, but that was not the end of the vision. They had to rebuild the walls. Now, I always felt I knew exactly what this meant, but I'm not quite sure now, and I'm going to show you my questioning this. I always thought the walls broken down may have referred to back when Nebuchadnezzar lowered the walls at Jerusalem. And I thought that's what Nehemiah's heart was burdened about. And it may be true. But if you go back and read the book of Ezra, they had started to rebuild the temple and started on the walls, and they met opposition. Does anybody know that when you start doing things for God, the enemy will attack you? That he wants to disrupt what you're doing, and he wants to destroy that and stop it, and he will do it any way he possibly can? And I've almost changed my opinion. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm close, that they had started by rebuilding the walls, and the opposition that stopped them actually burned their walls back down. Now, you can look at it and read it for yourself and figure it out. But the original vision that God gave his people was to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, and rebuild the gates. Does anybody know that when God gives you a vision, he's not through that vision till you get it completed? They're not through with the vision. But they were not able to do it under the present leadership. God is going to raise up a new leader to lead their people and the vision that they already had. So that's why I say to you, don't expect the new leader to come in with a vision. He may have visions, but his vision will line up with the vision of the church. Here's what happens, folks, a lot of times. You get a new leader and the church doesn't have any vision. They don't know what they're doing. They're just coming on Sunday morning. And the new leader has a vision. And he thinks it's the same vision the church has. And when it's not the same vision as what the church has, guess what happens? Run into conflict. So if you don't want to run into conflict, make sure the vision you have, and when you call God's leader, he will have the same vision that God has already given you to help and lead you to complete the vision. Does that make sense to anybody? God's leader will lead God's people to complete the vision. So you need one who is sensitive to the needs of God's people. The needs of God's people is the vision of God's people, and the need is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, we may not understand how important that was today, but I will tell you it was vitally important to the people that day. For example, if your phone service goes out, you want it restored, don't you? But that's one of your protections. A lot of you have alarm systems in your home. That's your protection system. These walls are the protection system for Jerusalem. Number two. The first one, by the way, is verses 1 through 4. When you choose a leader, you need one who is dependable. In the last verse I read to you in Nehemiah chapter 1, he says, I was cupbearer to the king. Just one sentence. Now that says a lot about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a proven servant. He was a proven, dependable person. He was cupbearer to Artaxerxes. He is the most dependable man in the whole kingdom. The king trusted Nehemiah more than anybody else in his kingdom. He tasted the wine before he gave it to the king. They liked the poison king in those days. The king trusted him with his own life. The people of God will be able to trust Nehemiah also. I'm absolutely amazed sometimes at churches. They will call a pastor. They'll come. He'll come preach. Maybe they'll sit down and talk to him a little bit. They'll call him his pastor and never do a background check. I had one church said, well, we got rid of our pastor. I said, yeah, I heard. Well, you know, people were leaving. I said, yeah. And then they said this statement. You know, we heard he didn't do a good job at his last church either. And this is when I say to myself, Tony, just bite your tongue. Don't say anything. Folks, sometimes church people are just stupid. I mean, the business world does a lot better job than we do sometimes. I know this may be a whole new vision or light, but I'm going to give you something you can think about. If a pastor does a good job at one church, he will do a good job at another church and a good job at another church. Do you hear what I said? I knew Donnie Gamble when he was at Midway. He did a good job there. I knew him when he was on the staff at First Baptist Indian Trail. He did a good job there. I knew when he was in Florida, we went down there. He did a good job there. He did a good job at this church. Is that a track record? Dependable, faithful to God's word, love God's people, sensitive to their needs, and did a good job. You get my drift? Make sure you do a good job of looking at what the person has done in the past. Nehemiah is the most trusted man in the kingdom of Artaxerxes. God's people can trust him. He is dependable. If a pastor can follow God's leadership at one place, he can follow God's leadership at another. If he can complete vision at one church, he can complete vision at another church. Our director did an awesome job, 21 years of service. You go back through his history. Everywhere he was at, he did a good job. Dependable. Followed God's word. Led God's people. These are important things when you choose a new leader, folks. Number three. Number one is when you choose a leader, make sure he is sensitive to the needs of God's people, which that interfaces with the vision of God. You need one who is dependable, and you need a leader who believes in prayer. Now, I read that prayer to you. That is an awesome prayer. The more times I read it, the more I realize that my praying needs to be more lined up with biblical praying. Most of the time, we're praying to keep people out of heaven. Heal so-and-so. Now, if I get sick, I want you to pray for me to be healed too, okay? But that's the majority of our praying. Do we listen to our prayer? Are we praying for our missionaries? Are we praying for the Christians that are undergoing persecution? Are we praying for God to enlarge our borders? What do we pray for sometimes? You listen to our prayers, and I read this prayer, I'm like, wow. Now, God has called him. He has burdened him. He gave Nehemiah the same vision that he had gave his people. I want to impress that on you, by the way. When you call God's leader, he will have the same vision that God has given you. Just make sure you find out the vision before you call a man. You with me? Make sure you have the vision first. Now, what is your vision? I don't know. So what's your target group? This church that started up this morning, I talked to the pastor. He said, our target group is millennials. I said, whoa, millennials. These are young people. These are people paying that's got a mortgage and got small kids, got automobile payments. You know anything about millennials? You know, the one first thing that comes to my mind about millennials, besides they're lost, is they're broke. They ain't got no money. And you're going to try to reach a group that's got no money to support a brand new church? My brother, you have got faith. You know who's got the money? Anybody know? It's very easy, folks. The old people's got the money. You want something done in your church, you better be looking to the old people to help support it. They're not in favor of it. By the way, it's no extra charge on this one. The old people's got the money. They got the kids already in college and graduated. They ain't got no bills at home. The home's paid for. The automobile's paid for. And if anybody's got any money, it's going to be the older people. Don't make them mad, by the way. Nehemiah realized this is an awesome task. He's a cupbearer, but he don't know anything about building walls. It's bigger than he can do. Does anybody know about building a church is bigger work than we can do? We can't do it, folks. Jesus said, I will build my church. I can't build a church. You can't build a church. Jesus said he would build a church. It's a big task. It's bigger than we can do, folks. So what does Nehemiah do? First thing he did is he went to God in prayer. Now he's going to need some things. First of all, he's a cupbearer to king. He needs to leave. He needs permission. By the way, you couldn't speak to the king without an invitation to speak. It was death. He needs permission to talk to the king. If the king gives him permission, he's going to need a lot of lumber. Guess who owns the lumber? King does. He needs to travel through a lot of distant lands. That's a long trek. It takes about 4 months to get there. He's going to need visas. He's going to need a passport. He's going to need people to protect him. Guess who has all this stuff? That's right. The king has everything. This is not a democracy. Artaxerxes controls everything. And so he begins to pray. This is a huge task, folks, because only God can touch the hearts of people. And he prayed 4 months before he ever approached the king. 4 months, he says, day and night, I prayed this prayer. And right before he went into the king, he asked God to have compassion on him. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We got a lot of modern conveniences. You know, we used to start out, when we started out in church, we had hard pews. Anybody remember hard pews? Soft pews. That, you know what soft pews are for? That's for the pastor who can preach a little bit longer and people don't get quite as upset. That was a joke. You can laugh. I'm getting ready to close, by the way, in case you're wondering. There's a true soul. We got heat and air conditioning, no more of these fans like this. We got all these nice instruments here. We got all these microphones, nice lighting, paved parking lot, all this good stuff. You would think the church would be full. All these nice things. I'm going to tell you something, folks. With all the convenience that we've got today, nothing happens until God's leader and God's people seek the Lord. There is no substitute for prayer. There is no substitute to change the hearts of people than prayer. And Nehemiah is not a one-time prayer. He's constant at it. And whatever your mission statement I just read, whatever your vision, whatever God's given you, that's your vision that God's given you. But I want to tell you this. All the mission statements, all the vision statements will mean absolutely nothing unless God's people are praying. Because prayer is the energy behind the mission, and prayer is the energy behind the vision. And if we're not praying, we're doing it on our own. So I'm going to encourage you at Herman Baptist Church, spend time in prayer, corporate prayer, praying that God will give you the vision. You may already have it, folks. I don't know. You know the answer. This. I don't know. But whatever vision God has for you as a church, that God will make this vision crystal clear to you. See, it was crystal clear to Nehemiah. God put it in his heart because it was a mission, it was a vision that God had already given God's people. He said, go back and rebuild my temple, rebuild the walls, fix the gates. They already had it. They just need Nehemiah, a leader that had energized through prayer and came back and says, God's given me a mission. It's to lead you people. They said, what's the vision? It's the same vision you've had, folks. And he did it. Not without opposition, but he did it. And that's my message I felt God had for you today. Now, it's sort of hard to respond to an invitation like that, isn't it? I know it is. Because if we responded honestly, all of us would have to come down this altar and say, Lord, we want to make sure we know what your vision is before we ever call our next leader. We want to make sure. And when he comes, we want to make sure he has the same vision for this church as we have, that he can complete the vision of Herman Baptist Church and the vision that God has given you people, whatever that vision is. Every individual church has a separate vision, by the way. They may have similar missions, but we have separate individual visions for each church. So here's what I want to do. I want you to look in your bulletin. You got this little paper here, it says Herman News. I want you to look on the back of it, and it says our Pastor Search Committee. I want you to take this piece of paper, and I want you to put it on your refrigerator or in your bathroom on the mirror. You can cut it out if you want to. And I want you to place this team in and say, this new year, I'm going to pray that God will lead us to the right leader. I want you to do that. That's your New Year's resolution for those of you who hadn't made one. And to pray for these people, because it is an awesome task to be set with this responsibility. Because I know some teams that have really not done a good job and the church suffered. You got good people on here. You trust these people. These people are dependable. They're praying people. They're sensitive to the needs of this church. But they can't do it on their own, folks. This is a part of divine movement in the church, where you cannot do this on your own. You cannot find God's man on your own. You have to have the Spirit of God lead you. You agree with that? So we must pray for these people. And I'm going to ask these people to come down, if you're here today. Rebecca Kiker, don't you just come just stand and just come and face me. You're the chairperson. Bless you. Bonnie Berg, Ron Springs, Debbie Joyner, T.C. Carter, I may not get this name right. Melvin? Merwin Joyner. I know you. Larry Tarr. Jim Hunt. What I'm asking you to do today is to make a decision that you will pray for these people. And you will pray for your church until God leads you to your next leader. That's what I'm asking you to do. And I'm asking this congregation, if you'll rise to your feet. And this will take a moment. We'll wait. For those of you who can, and you'd like to come forward and put your hands upon these people as an act of faith, as an act of commitment. This is a serious job, folks. The future of Herman Baptist Church rests on this decision. And it is serious, and I take it as serious, and I know you do too. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And as I lead you in prayer, I want you to make a commitment that you will pray that God will make clear the vision of Herman Baptist Church, number one. Number two, that you will make clear to these group of men and women that you have selected, find God's person, God's man of leadership. Will you do that? Now, Father, when we consider what's at stake, we realize that it's a task way beyond us. It is a task that only the touch of the Almighty can bring about. Lord Jesus, you said you would build your church. This is your church. They love you. They believe in your great commission. They believe in loving you with their heart and loving each other. And they're seeking for a new leader. And I pray for this committee. I pray, Father, that you would, first of all, open doors for them to find that person. Now, Father, we're not in a hurry. We will wait upon you. Do you bring the right person? We will not be impatient. We'll be like Nehemiah. We'll wait until that opportunity comes. But we'll be diligently seeking you in your direction. I pray you'll give this committee a unity, a purpose, And I pray that when that, you bring that man of God to these people, that they will have unity within this group. They will know this is of the Lord. This is not our choosing. We know that the touch of God is upon them. I pray for this body of believers here at Herman Baptist Church, Father, that you would make clear to them what is your vision for this church. Bring that leader who will complete that vision is my prayer. I pray for the interim pastor this coming next week, that you will lead and guide him in all that he does, to lead this church in this transition period. And I pray for him today. I pray for the leadership of this church, Father. Invest upon them wisdom and guidance and direction. We serve an awesome God, an all-inspiring God, as Nehemiah said, and I agree with him. You are an all-inspiring God, one who loved us and gave his life at Calvary, and it's still a great mystery to us, your great love. Today we worship you, and we thank you that you're doing a work in the people at Herman Baptist Church. And it is the name of Jesus we pray.